And welcome to the Richard Rants Show, here every Wednesday at 5 o'clock Pacific Time, broadcasting out of sunny, clear today, San Francisco. And glad to be here with you all live on Facebook Live, and then to be posted later on podcast platforms, including Google and Spotify and Radio Public and a couple of others. So we'll look forward to that. That will be great. And the listenership has been increasing. I thank you very much, my listeners, for all of that and all of your diligent perusal of the news, judging for yourselves based on the best information out there, the best science, the peer-reviewed, overwhelming consensus of scientists, the well-researched journalism from reputable journalistic fact-checked organizations. I thank you for following your best reasoning and analytical skills in cutting through the garbage and the misinformation and the disinformation out there to get to the truth. And I am doing my best to get to the truth and to bring it into the discussion here with you. And my lines are open. If you have my phone number, you're welcome to call. Or if you're watching on Facebook Live, you are welcome to comment. I do have a Facebook group, the Richard Rants Show group, and you're welcome to comment there and to contact me there as well, or at richardrants@yahoo.com. So thank you, yahoo.com, that is. Thank you. So getting down to business, because I'm only going to be on the air for 1.5 hour today, one very quick and also as thorough half hour as I can be, covering as much as I can in as responsible and realistic way as I can. And I do have an opinion, and I will occasionally rant. Hence my name, Richard Rants. So let's get started. Early voting has started here in San Francisco at City Hall, and it started in Georgia too. And the lines in Georgia were hours long because of Republican efforts to restrict the vote, because that is what they do, because they know that they cannot win if everyone votes. And especially because the majority of our population here, the majority of the population that are eligible voters, are not going to vote for Republicans, because they know that Republicans are the party of the rich and the party of the white supremacists and right wing. That's who they are. And now they are the party in abject obeisance to the wannabe dictator, Donald Trump. Wannabe dictator, but he's not. And he has not the ability to be a strong man like he really wishes to. But he certainly has the dishonesty, and he certainly has the criminal behavior to back that up. And the evidence mounts over and over again, one piece of evidence after another, shamelessly using the presidential office to enrich himself and his family, shamelessly giving top jobs to family and cohorts that are not qualified in any way to perform those jobs. Again and again, cheating on his taxes. I need not go down the list. And now he's roided up on steroids and delusional. Not that he wasn't already delusional in his narcissistic, selfish state. Yes, he was already crazy delusional, but now it's even amplified by those steroids, like the roided up cops that he loves so much that go around brutalizing, especially our citizens of color throughout the country, performing horrendous acts of murder against especially black people that we hear the names of, George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, and many others. We say their names and we don't forget their names. It is a despicable truth that we have a racist structure of our society in this country, and it is also unequal at an economic level, and that inequality is also racially reflected. This is what we are fighting. On the left, that's what we're fighting. On the right, they're fighting a battle to maintain the upper level of income inequality, maintain the advantages of the 1%, and at their base level, they are taking advantage of the hatred and fear that they sow that is reflected in the ultra-right wing, what was at one point called the alt-right, which is these white supremacists and racists who want to blame immigrants and people of color for their problems, when in reality, it is the structural deficiency of the United States that is to blame for all the poverty and suffering in this country. And it disgusts me that billionaires, like the head of Amazon, Jeff Bezos, he has made, on certain days, he has made multiple billions of dollars a day. He's made something like $50 billion since the beginning of the COVID crisis. This is obscene. When people are suffering, that this billionaire is raking in the cash, more money than him and his family could ever spend in lifetimes ever if they tried their hardest. Meanwhile, people throughout the country are going hungry and cannot pay the rent. This disgusts me. And the right wing and the Republicans go right along with it. And they're working for these billionaires. And they pass the tax cut. That's their biggest achievement. That and packing the courts. Because you want to talk about court packing, that's what the Republicans have been doing for many, many years. They've been packing the courts. And McConnell, that damn anti-democratic head of the majority in the Senate, that McConnell, he made it his duty to put as many conservative judges, many of whom are not qualified, that were presented to him by the Federalist Society. And if you look at Sheldon Whitehouse's exposition yesterday at the Amy Coney Barrett hearings, you will see that he laid it out in great detail. It's been laid out in fine journalism as well, that organization and others that have been helping to shape this conservative, this right-wing judiciary are black money operations funded into the tune of millions of dollars by interests that we do not know. We have no record of who these people are who have been pouring millions of dollars into packing the judiciary with right-wing judges who are put there for the express purpose of reversing judicial precedent in a ultra-conservative direction, to take away rights from individuals, take away rights from workers, take away rights from LGBT, from women. And we know that Amy Coney Barrett, who is currently being rushed through hearings to replace the great RBG on the Supreme Court, rushed through when these same senators, led by McConnell, have made sure not to pass any relief bill for the average worker in our country. They have not passed a relief bill, but they are damn sure going to put through a Supreme Court judge who will reverse the rights of women, who will take a woman's right to choice away. They are going to review a case about same-sex marriage coming up. They're going to review a case about the ACA Obamacare, which gave health care to millions of people in this country who didn't have it, and which this has been one of Trump's and the Republicans' goals from the beginning, to repeal Obamacare. Why? Because they're cold-hearted bastards. That's why. Because they don't want people to have health care. That's why they want to repeal the ACA. And Barrett is going to go up there, and another ostensible and admitted reason that Trump wants her in there is so that she can help to steal a close election. So let's not get complacent and think that despite what the polls say, that it really looks like we're going to have a landslide, that people are willing to wait on lines for hours at a time in Georgia to vote early because they are motivated to get these despicable criminal bastards out of office. They are waiting in line. This is a sign that we are en route to get a rout, en route to get a landslide to sweep these bastard Republicans out of office. And the only way we're going to do that is to vote the Democrats in right now. And the Democrats are listening, and Bernie Sanders is standing right up there with Biden and Harris, and Harris is already one of the most progressive senators in the Senate and is right behind the Black Lives Matter movement and is going to be the first female vice president in history and the first woman of color, first Indian American, first Black woman in color in office. And after Biden serves through his first term, it's pretty assured he's not going to run for a second term, and Ms. Harris is going to be queued up to become our first female president of color, a progressive woman, and who listens to the left wing, who listens to Black Lives Matter, who cares about economic justice. I'm excited, but we cannot get complacent because we know that the right wing is going to start to suppress the vote, is already suppressing the vote. They're cheating in California. The Republicans are putting out fake ballot drop boxes so that they can disqualify ballots that credulous voters might put in there. Straight up cheating, left and right. Now, also, Biden and Harris will likely support putting the teeth back into the Voting Rights Act, because as soon as that Voting Rights Act was reversed by this overwhelming majority right-wing partisan Supreme Court, and if you listen to Sheldon Whitehouse's exposition, and also if you go on Democracy Now! From yesterday and today, they had a very detailed interview with an expert who outlined exactly how many times this court has, by a 6-3 margin or a 6-4 margin, has only the conservatively appointed justices have voted to reverse decades of precedent that protected the American public from the predations of the corporate class and the corporate money, because that is what they were there for. That's their true reason. Yes, at the tip of the iceberg, we've got the quality of life, the human rights, civil rights aspects, such as the right to gay marriage, the right to a woman's choice, the right to health care. Yes, they've been ruling against that. But underneath that, the real reason that they're put in there, the big money reason, because you got to follow the money in these things, is to protect the big money. That's right. That's why they're there. And if you listen to Democracy Now!'s interview, it is laid out pretty clearly. And if you listen to Sheldon Whitehouse's exposition at the Amy Coney Barrett hearings yesterday, you will hear how the big black money, the dark money, has been going in to the organizations that have been supporting this right-wing, ultra-conservative takeover of the Supreme Court and of the court system. And as McConnell said, his motto is, We will leave no vacancy behind, but they'll be certain not to allow the Supreme Court justice that President Obama had every right as a president to nominate and should have been considered by the Senate. And then those hypocrites, because we know they're hypocrites, because they lie nonstop, said that, oh yeah, well, they claimed the reason, I think they called it the Biden rule at the time. They said, oh yeah, the reason is, and that's just because they took some quote out of context from Joe Biden at some hearing. But of course they tried to weaponize it. But they said, oh no, it's 1 year from the election, so it's too soon. We have to let the American people decide who this justice is going to be. So they wouldn't even consider President Obama's completely legal and rightful nomination of a Supreme Court justice to replace Antonin Scalia after he dropped dead. So, we have to vote these unscrupulous bastards out of office. Bring in a majority Senate Democrats, majority House of Representatives Democrats, a Democratic president, and then we can deal with the Supreme Court. And hopefully we will be able to fight and delay this Coney Barrett nomination so that she does not get approved to the Supreme Court. She does not deserve to be approved to the Supreme Court. People have already started voting by the time she was nominated. Talk about too close to the election? Yeah, that's too close. People have already started voting. Yes, let the people decide. Let the next president decide. And while we're talking about voting, early voting has started, I mentioned. Right here in San Francisco, it started at City Hall. I have to admit, I have not completely filled out my ballot yet. I've been working on it. Obviously, Biden and Harris are at the top of the ballot. And I got to tell you, I voted for Nancy Pelosi too, because although she is not as progressive as her constituency here in San Francisco, she's representing a lot more up there as the majority leader in the House, as a Speaker of the House. She is representing a lot more than San Francisco, and she is doing it well, because it is not a matter of just doing what we on the left want her to do. As the House Majority Leader, as the Speaker of the House, she has to get consensus amongst a wide variety of Democrats from all over the country, and she has to put forth the best possible consensus and opinion of how to proceed. And that's what she's doing, and she's very powerful. And we've got this local guy, he's actually, I'm sorry, but he's a clown, this Shahid Buttar, who is running against her locally. And there's very credible evidence against him, very credible reports of pretty despicable and misogynistic sexual harassment on his part. And he has made some good points about, well, you know, what we might wish, what we would wish that Nancy Pelosi would have been stronger and more progressive than she was. But that's easy to say from a left-wing perspective here in this bubble of San Francisco. That's very easy to say. But here in this bubble of San Francisco, we are much more progressive than the rest of the country. And we can't expect the rest of the country to come along with our extremely progressive and left-wing views. When it comes to what has to be a consensus coming together of all the members of the House of Representatives, it's a matter of trying to count votes, and no one can count votes better than Nancy Pelosi, and no one has better experience at running the Democratic-led House of Representatives than Pelosi does. And Shahid Buttar is basically nobody. He has hardly any experience whatsoever. And if he's not going to get elected, obviously, but if he did and he wound up in the House of Representatives, he'd just be some freshman representative with no say whatsoever. Right now, our representative in the House is the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi. So, although she might be not be as progressive as we would like, if she does want, and she often does, want some progressive legislation passed, she knows how to do it. Jaime Buttar doesn't, and upset about him, he doesn't have a chance of winning anyway. But okay, I'm voting for him. Now I'm going line by line down, and I gotta say that usually I do agree with the pissed off voters guide. So if you need a quick and dirty guide to some of the most progressive and well thought out choices on how you may vote, you can check out the pissed off voters guide. I have to admit, I haven't looked at it yet. And if they say Shahid Buttar, don't listen to that. My advice. Of course, everyone makes their own decision because Nancy Pelosi is the most powerful representative of San Francisco that we could get. And Buttar has a lot of negatives. All right. But anyway, but generally the pissed off voters guide is pretty good, but I haven't looked at it yet. I want to do my own judgment first and then check it against the pissed off voters guide. I'm going to try to figure that out and finish it as soon as possible. Get it down to City Hall as soon as possible. Now, I don't want us to lose faith in the post office. You know, many, many people around the country are going to have to post their mail-in ballots under these COVID circumstances at the post office. And, you know, despite the sabotage of the post office, the sabotage of the ballots, why? Well, we know why Trump and the Republicans want to sabotage the voting process, because they know that they're going to lose a fair vote. And, you know, they can't, he's not as established a dictator as the dictator of Belarus over there. And in Belarus, he just outright is cheated. Now, that dictator has been in there for decades. So, you know, he's got a very entrenched situation there. And hopefully our democracy here is more robust than theirs. But the public in Belarus was so incensed that they have been nonstop demonstrating by the millions out there in Belarus. And this is despite being shot at, being kidnapped and tortured, because that's what a authoritarian illegal government does, and that's what Trump wishes he would do. That's why he sent his unidentified federal forces to Portland and kidnapped a couple people off the street. Well, luckily he couldn't go so far as to torture them, but he sure wishes he could, and he sure was happy when the federal marshals went and murdered in cold blood an anti-fascist protector who had been with the marches, the Black Lives Matter marches, and who had shot a right-wing, ultra-right neo-Nazi who was attacking him and the other protesters, as they do, and as Trump has encouraged by saying, "Proud Boys, stand back and stand by," when asked to denounce white supremacy. Instead, he did quite the opposite and encouraged the white supremacists to the point where the Proud Boys now put those words, "stand back and stand by," on their emblem because they're so proud of being endorsed by the President of the United States, this racist President of the United States. So anyway, on my ballot, I decided so far I'm going to vote against Prop 22, which is a proposition that was put forth by the corporate interests of Lyft and Uber in order to be able to skirt California regulations that will force them to give employees who actually are employees because they work more than 30 hours a week and classify them as such and give them the benefits that employees are entitled to in the state of California, such as health care and a minimum wage and rights to organize, things like that. And they should have those rights. Now, this has been backed in the millions of dollars by these corporate interests in order to increase their profits. And they make a baseless threat that if they don't get this passed, they're going to pull out. Fact is, they're probably not going to pull out. They'll still be able to make profits doing their business, just less profits. A lot less, but less. They'll be able to make profits. But they don't want to say that, so they're trying to scare people. And some of the arguments, the only arguments really I've heard against or for voting for Prop 22 are, besides the ones who just believe the lies that have been put forward in the media blitz, because it's well-funded to vote yes on 22, that I've heard some people who have been driving for Lyft and Uber say, but we need this income. Listen, you can still get that income. Don't worry. It's a lie. But also, there are many employees of Lyft and Uber who are against Prop 22 because they know that they're being ripped off by Lyft and Uber. And there are a couple of other gig economy delivery services that are included in that bill that have helped to fund it. So I'm voting no on 22, no on the corporations once again profiting off limiting the rights of the workers. No on that, no on 22. I'm voting yes on I, I'm voting yes on K. Yes on I, because I is for social housing. Yes, to allow the city of San Francisco to build social housing, to house the unhoused. We need that. We need that in this county that is way too expensive to live in. Yes, we do. And yes on K. Yes on K, because yes on K, because we also need to allow for social housing. And yes on I, because we need to see through the lies against I, the lies that the big real estate have raised, and we need to vote to tax large businesses, tax only the sale of properties worth over $10 million. This will have no effect on small businesses, and this will allow the government of San Francisco to fund very important social programs for emergency rent relief and affordable housing. So I'm voting yes on I, because we really need that too. So these are the items that I have already decided on voting in the local elections. And I'm still looking at it, and I'm going to go down to City Hall, because despite the fact that we do need to believe that the post office is going to deliver our ballots, we might want to, if we can, personally drop them off. And that's what I'm going to do by taking it down to City Hall. And I wanted to say, because I only have about a minute left on the show now, that Senator Kamala Harris demolished Vice President Pence, as we knew she would, in our vice presidential debate. And I just want to echo the words that she said. The American people have witnessed what is the greatest failure of any presidential administration in the history of our country. And here are the facts, she said. 210,000 dead people in our country in just the last 7 months. Over 7 million people have contracted this disease. We're looking at 30 million people who in the last several months have had to file for unemployment. And on January 28th, the vice president and president were informed about the nature of this pandemic. And to make a long story short, they played it down. And they purposely played it down. And the president concerned more with just the daily stock market totals than with the health of the American public, played this epidemic down. Well, there's a lot more to talk about, but I'm coming down to the end of today's broadcast. It was a half an hour. It was an intense half an hour. I said as much as I could. I ranted a little, maybe ranted a lot. And I hope that you'll rejoin me again next week. And feel free to call in. When I get callers, I go a little longer. Rant and resist. Peace and love.